Hi, Ma Bestie, it's me, your doll detective, Martin Rules, and welcome back to my channel. And you know what time it is? It's Philippine True Crime Stories. Kumusta kayo lahat? I hope you guys, girls, and my non-binary friends are safe and healthy. Kung bago kayo sa aking channel, hello, my name is Martin, or you can call me Tin. At tuwing Thursday, gumagawa ako ng video tungkol sa totoong krimen o misteryo na nangyari sa Pilipinas o sa Asia habang nagme-makeup. Kaya naman, kung interesado ka sa gatong klaseng content, I highly suggest na mag-subscribe ka na sa aking channel because deserve. Huwag mo rin kalimutan na i-click yung bell button para naman ma-update ka pag mayroon tayong bagong uploads. And lastly, if you have any questions tungkol sa topic natin for today or sa mga makeup na i-apply ko, huwag kayong mahiya na magtanong sa comment section below. Okay, so last week, kung naalala nyo pa, pinag-usapan natin yung case ni Sada Abe, and today naman we are going to talk about Juan Luna's legacy. Because marami tayong ia-unpack for today's video from his achievements, murder, at yung debate kung kailangan pa ba natin siyang i-celebrate or i-admire. Kaya naman buckle up because this is going to be a roller coaster ride. Babala. Ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya, at description ay maaaring makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. So, let's go back in time where it all started. Si Juan Novicio Luna ay ipinanganak no October 23, 1857 sa taon ng Badoc, Ilocos Norte sa mga magulang na sina Joaquin Posadas Luna de San Pedro and Loriana Novicio Ancheta. Pangatlo si Juan sa magkakapatid at yung pangalan ng mga kapatid niya ay sina Numeriana, Manuel, Joaquin Damaso, Jose Antonio, and Remedios. In 1861, nag-move yung family sa Manila at nag-aral itong si Juan sa Ateneo Municipal de Manila kung saan nakuha niya yung degree niya in Bachelor of Arts. He then enrolled at Escuela Nautica de Manila, now Philippine Merchant Marine Academy, and became a sailor. This took him to many places here in Asia. Pero every time na babalik siya sa Manila, he would take painting lessons under the illustrious teacher Lorenzo Guerrero sa Academia de Dibujo y Pintura or College of Fine Arts of the University of the Philippines. Si Don Guerrero immediately spotted his potential at siya yung na-convince sa parents ni Juan na ipadala ito sa Spain to further hone his talent. Kaya noong 1875 or 1877, pumunta si Juan together with his brother na si Manuel sa Barcelona. Yung brother niya na si Manuel studied music and si Juan naman painting sa Escuela de Bellas Artes de San Fernando or San Fernando School of Fine Arts in Madrid. May mga sabi-sabi sa Spain, naging kapansin-pansin yung talento ni Luna. May iba naman ang sabi, he was discontented sa style of teaching sa school. Kaya naman he befriended and took a private lesson under Alejo Vera, isang famous contemporary painter sa Spain. Vera was deeply impressed with Juan's skills. So much so that when he had to undertake commissions in Rome, he would take his student with him. Juan was exposed to the art of Renaissance painters and Rome was like a playground to him. He loved the grandeur of Rome and the artistic freedom in the Italian capital. Of course, he was in his early 20s and adored the liberal spirit that triggered his creative mind. He was enthralled with the works of the masters and openly imbibed the passion of classical painters like Michelangelo and Raphael. Sobrang na-inspire siya sa lugar kaya most of his winning works were created in Rome. Dito niya pininta yung The Death of Cleopatra and Daphne y Cleo. Yung Daphne y Cleo was his entry to the Liceo Artistico de Manila kung saan nanalo siya ng Silver Palette. Habang yung The Death of Cleopatra naman won him his very first international prize, a silver medal from the Exposition of Fine Arts in Madrid. May mga reports na although he was inspired with the beauty of Rome, Yung living conditions niya naman doon was far from beautiful. Nakatira siya sa Via Marguta, isang shabby alley kung saan pinapark ng mga kabayo, yung kabayo nila dahil yung lugar ay mode of city transportation at that time. You could only imagine the smell, yung pagkabisi at putik nung daan since dun din pinapaliguan yung mga stallions every morning. He lived in poverty during his first few months sa Rome. And despite all of this, according kay Santiago Pilar, isang Filipino historian, yung mga paintings ni Juan was described by the critics to be very rich and huge. Dagdag pa niya, nalampasan daw ni Juan yung mga paintings submitted by Italians and Spanish artists. At na-missed lang daw ni Juan yung gold medal by only 3 votes sa painting niya na The Death of Cleopatra. Anyway, that silver medal bought him an instant fame. And all of a sudden, the Arts Guild in Europe were very curious about the young Filipino painter. His growing reputation as an artist earned him a 4-year pension scholarship worth 600 pesos annually from the Ayuntamiento of Manila. Under the condition, of course, na obligado siya magpinta, that captures the essence of the Philippine history, which at the time were under the colonial power of Spanish Empire. With this, he was no longer worried about his day-to-day expenses and was all set to do his next project. Habang tinatamasa niya yung kasikatan ng The Death of Cleopatra, he was already conceptualizing the Spoliarium, which just recently I went to National Museum to see his artworks in flesh. Kaya naman sobrang timely talaga nung episode na ito dahil, alam mo yun, parang mas maganda na makita yung mga artworks niya or parang mag-travel back in time before ko i-tackle yung story ni Juan Luna. Speaking of very timely, before ko rin i-shoot itong episode na ito, recently lang din na-unveiled yung mga long-lost painting ni Juan Luna. So, this is it. It's giving the right time, the right moment. Ganon! Char. Speaking of Spoliarium, let's talk about it because there is a story behind it. Yung idea ay galing sa libro by Charles Louis de Zobry titled Rome in Time of Augustus, Adventures of Gaul in Rome. In the story, yung lead character is awakened by crying voices from the Roman amphitheater. When he goes to the basement to check, he met by a tragic scene. A wounded gladiator crying in pain as members of his family mourn by his side. Yun yung galing sa libro, pero yung painting itself has a deeper meaning ayon sa mga historians. Yung painting featured a glimpse of Roman history centered on the bloody carnage brought by the gladiator matches. And yung spoliarium is a Latin word that refers to the basement of a Roman Colosseum, kung saan yung natalo at mga mamamatay ng gladiator doon tinatapon at tinatanggalan ng suot nila. Kung makikita nyo sa center ng painting ni Juan, yung mga fallen gladiators were being dragged by the Roman soldiers. On the left, yung mga spectators ay nag-iintay ng kanilang chance to strip off the combatants of their metal helmets and other armory. Meanwhile, on the right side, makikita yung malaking contrast na nagpapakita ng malungkot na mood. An old man carries a torch na parang hinahanap yung anak niya while a woman weeps the death of her loved one. With this, Juan Luna is making a parallelism of Rome's violent imperialism to Spain's violent colonization towards the Filipino people. The painting symbolizes the despair and the countless deaths of Filipinos during the Spanish reign. According kay Pilar, yung historian, while the book may given him an idea and na-inspire siya one sa atmosphere ng Rome, he must also have been strongly influenced by his grief over the death of his favorite brother na si Manuel, who was just 11 months older than him. Anyway, yung painting was described as the largest work, the most frightful, and the most discussed work at the exposition. The painting is measured at 7.7 meters wide by 4.2 meters tall and considered the largest painting in the Philippines. Noong May 18, 1884, he shipped the large canvas of the Spoliarium to Madrid for that year's Exposición Nacional de Bellas Artes. And there, Juan was the first recipient of the 3 gold medals in the exhibition, and he gained recognition among the connoisseur and art critics. This kind of achievement at the time, surpassing his Spanish contemporary, ay isang malaking insulto at sampal para sa mga Espanyol na natalo sila ng isang Indio. And then after the news of Juan Luna's win, may mga gatherings na naganap sa mga local cafes. Some of the attendees were Jose Rizal and Graciano Lopez Haina, who are popular Filipino propagandists. Pagkatapos, nagbigay sila ng speech in regards to Luna's win. Ang sabi ni Graciano, and I quote, "For me, if there's something sublime in the Spoliarium, it is because behind the canvas, behind the painted figures, there floats the living image of the Filipino people sighting for its misfortune. Because the Philippines is nothing more than the real Spoliarium with all its honors." End quote. Samantala, si Rizal ang sabi, "The Spoliarium embodied the essence of our social, moral, and political life. Humanity in severe ordeal, humanity unredeemed, reason and idealism in open struggle with prejudice, fanaticism, and injustice." After his victory in Madrid, Juan sought to imbibe the artistic environment in Paris. Kaya he opened a studio at 65 Boulevard Arago in 1885. At yung kanyang studio sa 175 Boulevard Pierre, kung saan yung mga Pinoy sa Paris would congregate and organize themselves into the Indios Bravos. I'm not sure if this is the same year when the Provincial Committee of Barcelona bought the Spoliarium for 20,000 pesos. He, si Juan, eventually developed a friendly relationship with King Alfonso XII and was later commissioned by the Spanish Senate para magpinta ng La Batalla de Lepanto or The Battle of Lepanto. A year after, natapos niya yung El Pacto de Sangre or The Blood Compact in accordance with the agreement he had with the Ayuntamiento Manila. Sa painting na ito, pinakita yung Blood Compact ceremony between the Datu Sikatuna, isa sa mga lords in the Bohol Islands, and the Spanish conquistador Miguel Lopez de Legazpi. It was also the same year na naging kaibigan ni Juan si Felix Resurreccion Hidalgo, isa pang kilalang Filipino painter. And then noong 1904, yung painting na The Blood Compact won the first prize in Paris, France. He also sent 2 other paintings in addition to the one required. At yung unang canvas na pinadala sa Manila was a portrait of Lopez de Legazpi, reconstructed by Luna from his recollection of similar portrait he saw in the Hall of Calvido. At yung pangatlo was Gobernador General Ramon Blanco Arenas. The next year, September or December 4 or 8, 1886. Si Juan Luna, 29 years old at the time, married Maria de la Paz Pardo de Tavera, 21 years old, kapatid na babae ni Felix at Trinidad de Tavera, mga kaibigan ni Juan. The Pardo de Taveras are a wealthy political family who were on self-exile to avoid possible persecution from anti-reform Spaniards. At si Paz, having lived abroad all her life, she was sophisticated, enchanting, and dressed as elegantly as any Parisian girl. During their honeymoon, Juan painted Sorprendidos that depicts an illicit love affair. Sa painting, makikita natin yung actions ng mga characters na parang they're trying to escape something, or simply, alam mo yun, tatawid lang sila sa canal ng Venice or whatever. Pero it is not our place to judge the lovers dahil wala tayong context nung kanilang action. However, given the reaction of the Goya-esque figure dun sa painting says a lot. One obvious interpretation sa painting is that the boatman is none other than the conscious or subconscious representation of Juan himself asking for the hand of Paz, at yung older woman sa background ng painting would be Paz's mother na si Doña Juliana, na talaga namang against dito sa dalawang magjowa. May mga reports kasi na talagang tutol si Doña Juliana sa kasal ni Paz at ni Juan. Pero after siyang kausapin ng mga anak niya na si Felix at Trinidad, umahang din siya eventually. Wala rin siyang nagawa. The next year, si Paz at si Juan had a son named Andres. Pinanganak siya noong September 9, 1887, and eventually became a famous Filipino architect. Paz, who was accustomed to a certain lifestyle, was soon disillusioned after a miscarriage. She also realized na yung kinikita ni Juan ay hindi sapat sa kanilang nagsisimula pa lang na pamilya. Kaya they had to move in a smaller house in 26 Villa DuPont, 48 Rue Pergolese in Paris. Si Doña Juliana naawa sa anak niya and decided to stay with them so she could help take care of her grandson and contribute to the finances. Dumating pa sa punto na si Doña Juliana na yung sumasagot or nagbabayad ng lahat, including yung tuition fee ni Antonio Luna na kapatid ni Juan Luna na nagsistay sa kanila at that time as a house guest. Soon, nagbuntis ulit si Paz and eventually gave birth to a daughter named Maria de la Paz na ang nickname ay Bibi, who sadly died at the age of 3. At yung death ni Bibi really affected Paz and si Juan. Paz's health declined and si Juan was inconsolable. At yung tatay ni Juan had also passed away at about the same time. Nirecommend ng mga doktor na magbakasyon muna si Paz para mag-improve yung health niya. She went to Montdo and was accompanied by their son Andres, who was almost 5 years old, and their English nanny named Miss Bastley. On August 8, 1892, nagsulat ng letter si Juan kay Paz saying, and I quote, "My Ching Ching, to your Lulu, you are always the most beautiful of them all, and I ardently long for your return so I can paint your portraits, as I would like to while the weather remains warm. And do you know how I would like to paint your portraits? Answer me on this subject so I may know if you have guessed correctly. Now that your body is beautiful, let us take advantage of our time. Because after, we will become old and goodbye to beauty." End quote. Anyway, sa Mondo, Paz met a much older, more sophisticated man, the 45-year-old Monsieur Dussac. Though it was not proven whether Paz's relationship with Dussac was romantically or purely platonic. Pero dito na nagsimula yung pagiging seloso ni Juan. Pagkabalik ni Paz sa kanilang bahay noong August 12 that same year, sinabi niya raw kay Juan that she would need to take daily walks every afternoon dahil sinabi ng doktor. And then nagtaka si Juan bakit hindi na dinadala ni Paz yung anak nila na si Andres katulad nung dati. Hindi na rin ito sinusuot yung morning clothes niya. At tinanong niya rin si Paz kung sino yung certain Monsieur Dussac na nabanggit nitong Paz sa letter niya nung nagpapalitan sila ng sulat ni Juan nung nagbakasyon siya. At dun sa letter nabanggit ni Paz na si Monsieur Dussac yung nagdala sa kanya sa casino nung mga panahong nagbabakasyon siya dahil nag-decline yung kanyang health. Siguro sabi ni Juan, paano niya na-attempt magpunta sa casino while mourning? Char. Sagot naman ni Paz, pumunta siya sa casino only to listen to Spanish singers because she was missing home and the sound of Spanish comforted her. Sa sobrang pagsiselos ni Juan, meron pang report na he even spied on her wife and beat her a few times because of this supposed affair. On September 10, 1892, si Juan decided to accompany Paz on her daily exertion. Naglakad sila sa Bois de Boulogne kung saan naalala ni Paz bigla na meron siyang appointment with her seamstress. They parted ways, but a few seconds later, Juan decided to trail her. Sumakay si Paz sa double-decker horse-drawn bus sa Avenue de la Grande Angle. So, did Juan. Nadaanan nila yung Acne Triomphe and took the Champs-Élysées down to the Place de la Concorde. Pagkatapos, bumaba si Paz sa Rue de Rivoli at sinundo naman siya ni Juan sa Rue Cambon and then sa Rue de Montabor kung saan nakatira itong certain Monsieur Paul Frémy, nakaibigan ni Monsieur Dusac. And then si Paz stopped in front of number 25, room number 25 siguro, and then pulled out her lorgnette to verify the number and entered. A certain Madame Charlotte na concierge sa Rue de Montabor nakita si Juan at tinanong niya ito kung anong ginagawa niya doon. Sabi ni Juan, "I'm looking for a lady in black." Sabi naman ni Charlotte, "There's no lady in black here. Leave immediately or I'll call the police." Hindi siya pinansin ni Juan and ran up the stairs, stopping at every floor to try the doors. Hingal na hingal, narinig ni Juan na sumara yung entrance door at pagkalingon niya, a man extended his hand to him. And he recognized na si Monsieur Dusac ito. Tinanong ni Juan kung dito ito nakatira. Ang sabi ni Dusac, hindi. Nakatira raw siya sa Avenue Clever and he came there to see a friend. Nung tinanong si Monsieur Dusac, ang sabi niya, and I quote, "I made the acquaintance of Madame Luna, or si Paz, at Mondor. Our relations were of the most ordinary kind. On my return to Paris, I called upon Madame Luna on one of her reception days and was introduced to Monsieur Luna, who received me with cordiality. A fortnight ago, I was going to see a friend of mine, Monsieur Paul Frémy, who has a bachelor's apartment at 25 Rue de Montabor, where I met Monsieur Luna. He was pale, haggard, and breathless. I shake hands with him, asking by what accident I met him there, and replied that he had been following his wife and thought she went in there. I don't know whether or not Madame Luna entered the house, but I give you my word I did not see her there." End quote. Deranged and convinced na si Paz was having an affair, sinunog lahat ni Juan yung mga damit ni Paz at binubugbog niya ito gamit yung kanyang cane. Nung narinig ni Doña Juliana yung commotion, tinawag niya yung mga anak niya na si Felix and Trinidad to protect Paz, pero trineten lang sila ni Juan with his revolver. Weeks later, on September 22, 1892, bumisita si Felix and Trinidad sa bahay nila Paz to check on her at sa anak nito na si Andres who was sick at that time. Saglit lang yung pagbisita, pagkatapos yung brothers decided to get breakfast at a nearby cafe. Samantala, si Doña Juliana and si Paz decided that they did not want to be left alone in the house. So, they went downstairs and made their way to the cafe. Pero sa pinto, nakita nilang nakaharang si Juan na may dalang barel. Pinaputukan ni Juan si Paz at Doña Juliana multiple times, who screamed and ran back upstairs and locked themselves in the bathroom. Narinig naman ni Felix and Trinidad yung putukan, kaya dali-dali sila bumalik sa bahay. Pero maging sila ay pinaputukan rin ni Juan, and they end up seriously wounded. Pagkatapos, umakyat si Juan sa ikalawang palapag ng bahay and look for the two women. Now, yung mga susunod na mangyayari ay may dalawang version. Una, nung nalaman ni Juan na nagtago yung dalawang babae sa banyo, at nung sinubukan niya itong buksan, pero nakalak, kaya pinaputukan niya yung doorknob, which end up hitting Paz and Doña Juliana, causing their untimely deaths. Pangalawa, same scenario sa banyo. I'm not sure how he was able to open the door. It's either meron siyang susi, or tinadya kanya yung pinto, or binaril niya yung doorknob. The next thing is, he pointed his revolver to Doña Juliana and killed her with one shot to the head. Then he turned his gun to his wife, also shot her in the head. So there, sa tingin nyo, which version really happened? Because I don't think na kung binaril niya lang yung door na tatamaan na yung dalawang biktima sa ulo. So anyway, somehow si Paz survived the gunshot but eventually died in the hospital after 11 days. At lahat ng ito ay itong witness nung nag-iisa nilang anak na si Andres. Juan was arrested and murder charges were filed against him. Kinulong siya sa Masas Prison where he awaited his trial. Habang nakakulong, yung mga Pardo de Taveras who had several of Juan's paintings reportedly destroyed them. However, kahit gaano ka-grave yung ginawa ni Juan Luna, surprisingly, he was acquitted. And how to get away with murder? Of course, first of all, dapat may kakilala kang person in power for you to avoid death sentence and receive special treatments during your time in incineration. At katulad ni Juan na maraming koneksyon, ganito nga ang nangyari. He spent several months in the masses prison until his trial in February the next year. May mga letters na nag-surface written by Juan which was consigned by a Spanish collector to Salcedo Auctions from the archives of the Minister of Justice of that time. Yung letter ay in Spanish, pero here is the translation. Sabi, Most Excellent Senior D. Ezequiel Ordonez, My distinguished friend, I have received your two attentive letters, as well as that of the Director for Public Instruction. Very much, I will be glad that Mr. Minister does not forget me, and Mr. Ordonez, I do not know how much to thank you for what you do for this unfortunate man. My trial will probably be held towards the middle of next January, and despite my sad situation, I almost prefer to wait, resign, and patient this new year. Because I can assure you that this has been a disastrous year for me. I am looking forward to see it disappear off the calendar. I see my Andresito 3 times a week, thanks to the kindness of my judge who has really behaved like a true gentleman. Ang hindi lang nag-behave ng true gentleman dito ay ikaw, Chari. When I get back to that one, I'll take this rest of my destroyed family. So I'll meet yours and he will play with them. Hoping to see you soon, I will thank infinitely for your great services. With this occasion, I will remain always of you grateful. Your unfortunate friend, Juan Luna. This certain Ezequiel Ordonez ay may malaking impluensya sa bayan ng Galicia and Bajo Mino. Born in 1843 in Villa de San Miguel in Pontevedra, Ordonez was an important political figure in the late 19th century. He was a deputy, lawyer, and senator. He was also a subsecretary or right-hand man of the Minister of Overseas Affairs, who was mainly dedicated to the affairs of the colonies. Nagstay din itong politician sa Pilipinas for some time in 1890 at pinakasalan yung mestiza na si Juana Maria Lecaros Anareta. Yung consigner ang sabi, yung friendship ni Juan and Ezequiel seems way back. Very likely nung nasa Pilipinas pa silang dalawa. Dagdag pa niya na alam daw ni Juan, yung judgment niya would soon be held. And clearly, despite the very serious crime, yung pagkakaroon niya ng connection, alam niya na he was going to be released soon. Remember nung sinabi niya sa letter na, When I return, I will take the rest of my family at saka yung hope to see you soon. Malinaw na nagsasabing may assurance at tiwala siya kay Ezequiel. Even before, dito sa late 19th century, importante na meron kang kakilalang powerful people at isa yon sa katangian ni Juan Luna. We all know na he was in contact with great political figures at that time. Like for example, yung friendly relationship niya with King Alfonso XII and Queen Regent Maria Cristina is well known. Anyway, in prison, he enjoyed certain privileges na hindi nararanas ng ibang preso. Halimbawa na lang, yung cell niya ay malawak at maliwanag that he could paint his canvases. Yung anak niya si Andres, who was then tutored and cared for by Antonio Luna, na kanyang brother, visited him 3 times a week. On February 8, 1893, he was acquitted of the charges on the grounds of crime of passion, temporary insanity, at yung unwritten law sa France at the time that allowed husbands to punish or kill their wives who were found to commit adultery. Yung court ordered him to pay the Pardo de Taveras a sum of 1,651 francs and 83 cents and an additional 25 francs for postage, in addition to the 1 franc of claims for the damages. 5 days later, pumunta si Juan together with his brother Antonio and his son Andres back to Madrid where he spent the next 17 years. The Pardo de Tabera family shunned Juan forever dahil they never received the justice for the deaths of Doña Juliana and Paz. Si Trinidad na isang respected historian, doctor, and statesman na kaibigan din ni Juan, blackened out the face of Juan Luna in every family picture. In 1894, umuwi pabalik ng Pilipinas si Juan and did some paintings. Pagkatapos, nag-travel sa Japan noong 1896. Bumalik siya ng Pinas during the Philippine Revolution of the Cry of Balintawak. On September 16, 1896, Juan and Antonio Luna were arrested by the Spanish authorities for suspected sedition. Since his brother na si Antonio was an active participant of the insurgent Katipunan movement. At kahit nakakulong siya, Juan was still able to produce paintings which he gave to a visiting priest. In December that same year, Jose Rizal, his friend, was executed. The next year, May 27, 1897, he was pardoned by the Spanish court during the birthday of King Alfonso XIII and was released from prison at nag-travel pabalik ng Spain in July. Pagkatapos ng Spanish-American War of 1898, bumalik siya ng Pilipinas. Juan was appointed by the Executive Board of the Philippine Revolutionary Government as a member of the Paris Delegation, which was working for the diplomatic recognition of the Philippine Republic. In 1899, upon the signing of the Treaty of Paris, he was named a member of the delegation to Washington, D.C. to press for the recognition of the Philippine government. Pagkatapos, bumalik siya ng Pilipinas after hearing the death of his brother na si Antonio by the Kawit Battalion in Cabanatuan. And in December that same year, he traveled to Hong Kong to stay with Mariano Ponce. Sabi ni Ponce sa letter niya kay Ferdinand Blumentritt, Juan arrived in good health, pero he caught what seems to be a cold and took some medicines. 2 days later, he was dead. Ang sabi ng doctor, it was heart attack or cardiac arrest. Pero many suspects, including his own brother na toxicologist na si Jose Luna, na he was poisoned. May mga sabi-sabi na behind his strange death are the Pardo de Taveras, taking justice in their own hands dahil sa death ng nanay at kapatid nila. Yung iba naman believe that it has something to do with the revolution resulting sa pagkamatay ng kapatid niya at mga kaibigan niya at yung all-out war in his motherland. Nilibing yung mga labi ni Juan sa Happy Valley Cemetery in Hong Kong pero noong 1920s, it was exhumed and kept by his son na si Andres sa bahay nito. Later, tinransfer ito to a niche at the crypt of San Agustin Church. 5 years later, Juan would be reinstated as a world-renowned artist. At yung huling major work niya na Pipilwa or People and Kings was acclaimed as the best entry to the St. Louis World's Fair in St. Louis, Missouri. And yung ibang paintings niya were destroyed by fire during World War II. Samantala, yung famous painting niya na Spoliarium was given to the Philippines by the Spanish government in 1953 as a sign of goodwill. It made rounds of the different provinces before going under the care of National Museum. Pero the canvas had to first be cut in 4 pieces in transport at yung cuts are visible up to this day. If you guys are wondering kung ano nangyari sa anak ni Juan na si Andres, nung umuwi sila sa Pilipinas amidst the Philippine Revolution, just like his father, gusto niya ring maging painter. In fact, he won a prize at an exposition in Hanoi. However, he also showed interest in architecture, so binigyan ni Juan ng advice yung kanyang anak, saying, "Better an architect than a poor painter." Some of his works were the Chapel of the Crucified Christ in St. Paul University, Manila in 1927, Lizares Mansion sa Iloilo City, St. Cecilia's Hall sa St. Scholastica College in 1932, Manila Hotel in 1935, Alfonso Sobel Mansion, Crystal Arcade Building in 1932, First United Building in 1928, Legarda Elementary School in 1922, Natalio Enriquez Ancestral House in Sarayaya, Quezon in 1931, and Regina Building. So that is the story of Juan Luna. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Do you guys consider him a hero dahil sa pride na dinala niya sa bansa, or condemn him on his actions sa kanyang personal life, or both? I actually had a discussion with my friend about this, at ang pagkakasabi ko, if I'm not mistaken, we can admire yung art, pero we can't glorify yung artist. And eventually, I came across this phrase, separating the art from the artist, which have been debated in creative fields, world of academia, and across 100 of platforms. Dahil yung pag-separate ng art sa artist entails evaluating the piece of work without being influenced by the personal details of the artist, positive or negative. And ang sabi ng D. Asbury Collegian, it is entirely possible to recognize that a person is talented and their art is good while also recognizing their faults. However, I stumbled upon sa article ng commonwealthtimes.org about this topic. At ang issue daw sa praise na ito ay tinatrato daw nito yung artist at yung kanilang artworks as a two separate entities. Dahil ang pagiging artist daw is a deep, intimate experience, and they are often drawn from their own stories to create their art. To remove an artist from their creation, decontextualize their work, and it leaves the void of meaning. At yung reason why separating the art from the artist is a cop-out is because artists are their art. Everything they create is an extension of themselves and a glimpse into their reality. Clearly, there are nuances to the debate, and each case is different depending on the context or purpose of the art. Si Dr. Anna Hetherington, Visual Arts Department Chair, said, while Paul Gauguin, isang French artist, had a highly problematic biography, many historians believe that his art was historically significant enough to continue teaching. Just like Pablo Picasso and his rampant misogyny and documented physical abuse of women do not diminish the technical brilliance of his art nor the tremendous influence of his acclaimed masterpiece on art history. Sabi ito ni William Louis ng TheBradford.org. Dagdag pa niya, it's a personal choice whether or not to enjoy or support any particular artist, problematic or not. Personally, ako medyo torn sa mga nabasa ko dahil may tama sila. Mm-mm. Pero definitely, we can use those sa situation natin right now with Juan Luna. We can use his works for teaching, learn from the art, but also condemn him on his acts that he was an cold, calculated abuser and a murderer. Anyway, I'm rambling. Kayo naman. Let me know your opinions, thoughts, violent reactions on this case sa comment section below. Dahil yung comment section ay hindi na invento for nothing. Mm-mm. Kaloka kayo. I-share nyo rin itong video na ito sa mga friends nyo or sa inyong mga social media accounts and start the conversation. Like, so that's it for me today. Thank you so much for watching. This has been me, your doll detective, Martin Rules. And as always, please keep safe and healthy, and I'll see you guys on my next video. Bye!